Introduction. It was a typical night at my house. One of my kids was jumping on the arm of the couch, playing a new song he had learned on the guitar. The other was trying to show my grandma, Bev, a new Lego creation, proudly thrusting the bricks within inches of her eyeballs. As dishes clanged and my phone pinged, I felt a now familiar sense of constriction, like being stuck in a cave where the walls are closing in. Many of us know this feeling of being trapped in an impossible negotiation of trade-offs, of needing to choose between different things that matter in different ways. Whether it's supporting colleagues at work or trying to protect a weekend of quality time with family, it never seems like there's enough of me to choose everything I want to choose. On that night, I looked at Bev, one of my favorite people in the world, and chose to prioritize some quality time with her. I took her hand and guided her around the piles of cast-off Legos, past the remains of a wooden block castle in disarray, and out the door. At 99, Bev's hands are soft and strong, and I try to memorize them, how thin her skin feels, like smooth tissue paper gripping mine. Outside, I could breathe again. I felt the momentary relief that comes with having made what you think is the right choice, but only briefly. Only until Bev turned to me and said that although she liked coming to my house and seeing my kids, we weren't really spending time together. I dropped her hand. "Of course we are," I insisted. "Not really," she said. "We get to see each other, but when I come to your house, you're not really paying attention to me." I knew she was really saying, though not aloud, "I see that you think we're spending quality time together. But we can do better, go deeper than a 10-minute walk around the block." I didn't want Bev to be right, but I knew that she was. In the back of my mind, there's often a whisper reminding me to spend more quality time with her, but it's a whisper among so many shouts. When she proposed changing our routine so that I came to her house instead of she to mine, the shouts started up again. Kids, work, the traffic and parking situation near her apartment. Under the open night sky, I found myself back in that cave, elbows pushed into my sides, shoulders pressed up to my ears. How could I navigate through this feeling? Maybe you've also been in a situation like this, one where you know there's an important thing you need to do, but you can't seem to do it. Maybe your doctor is concerned about your health, and you know you need to exercise more. But in what little free time you have, it's hard not to sink into a favorite TV show. Maybe you've been wanting to make more time to mentor a promising person on your team at work, but urgent deadlines keep you from getting there. Maybe you have a goal to meet new people, but you find yourself talking with the same familiar friends, or worse, staring at your phone every time you go to a party or event. The structure of the situation is familiar to so many of us. I want to do the thing. And the thing is important to me, but it's also hard, for reasons. Though I didn't think about it this way at the time, this is the same basic problem I've studied for most of my career, how we choose, including how we choose to change. Every morning, I walk to the University of Pennsylvania, where I direct Penn's Communication Neuroscience Lab, and my team and I design experiments to explore, among other things, the relationship between what people value, the choices they make, and how this is shaped by the outside world. Specifically, we use neuroimaging to explore the brain systems that handle this process, and in doing so, we helped discover how these systems relate to the ways people spend their time, change their behavior, and connect with others. So shouldn't I be the expert? Bev is one of the most important people in my life. Shouldn't I know how to make a choice to prioritize time with her? Shouldn't I be in control of what's valuable to me? It seems I wasn't. It was hard even to clear out enough space in my defenses to pause before telling her she was wrong, let alone to ask myself, what's going on here? Why am I resisting visiting one of my favorite people? Why is this the choice I'm making? And worse, why do I keep making this choice over and over? If a friend had posed this dilemma to me, I might have told them that we often focus so much on the results of a choice that we miss the opportunity to understand why we made it to begin with, making lasting